What's up, everybody? We're here for Mudball Monday. To all of the millions of fans of Mudball Monday. Mudball Monday. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Mudball Monday. Hey, yo.
Here we are. We're back. Mudball Monday. We are back for a special Mudball Monday.
Mudball Monday once again.
Happy Mudball Monday.
Mudball Monday, baby.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Mudball Monday. Good to be here. Always good to be here. I kind of like this cadence that we've got going of, you know, we're not doing every single Monday, which makes them that much more special. So I always start with, I'm excited to be here, but I truly am really, really fired up for this conversation. Mr. Simons, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I love Mudball Mondays. It's nice to come together every Saturday or Sunday and chat it up.
Good deal. We're talking the Masters today. We're doing it because as of today, we are precisely 31 days from the launch, March the 7th. First day of the Masters is April the 7th. We are precisely 4 weeks from Masters Monday, which is an exciting day in and of itself. You start to see all the pictures from Augusta. The guys are showing up for the practice rounds. You know, the juices really get flowing starting Monday of that week. Which probably isn't true of really much else. You know, maybe US Open week and British Open, you start to get a little bit excited, but you know, when they try to speak into existence, the excitement over Players Monday, which just so happens to be tomorrow, you know, it is a lip service without a doubt. However, Masters Monday is 4 Mondays away. So we're fired up to talk about it. But before we do, of course, the dirt, drinking, eating, reading and thinking. What do you got for me?
I got some fire coming for you this week. Of course, drinking water, coffee, some nice wine with dinner last night, but a big, big coffee day today, bigger than ever before. Started off the morning at Davis Island Coffee Bar, had a little cortado to start because I knew I was going to be having more coffee. And then met a friend at Oxford Exchange, which is a really nice restaurant place. I'll mention that under the eating column, but they serve Buddy Brew there, which is kind of there are quite a few Buddy Brews around the Tampa area and good coffee. Breakfast was fantastic. And then made it over to King State, which is kind of the heavy hitter coffee place in Tampa. And it's really unbelievable. Unbelievable vibe. They turned a car shop into a place where people drink great wine and beer, and they have the best coffee in town. I think it was pretty surprising, honestly, that they do so much and they do everything quite well. But they run a hell of an operation in there. It's a really, really cool deal. It's very much house theory. Like they've nailed everything from the parking to the decor, to the presentation of, they kind of have like a gift shop type deal where you can buy your beans and you can buy some natural wines, and they have a little bit of merch going. It's highly legit. They've really got it figured out. So I had a great time there. They have a regular menu, which is pretty small, but they also do these food drops, which kind of, they drop them on weekends, and they'll do like smash burgers, or they'll have somebody come in and they'll do pizzas and something like that. It's legit. I would suggest anybody go down there if you're in the area. I'll be back for sure. Eating, had a big weekend. I had my grandparents in town. So we started the weekend off on Friday at a place called Love Child, which I've been to a few times. Just really good tacos, as I mentioned last week. Then we went to the famous Columbia restaurant in Ybor Saturday. Had a little Cuban, which is kind of what you have to do, but it's kind of a wild place, but we had a blast there. Had some really good coffee there as well, kind of an early lunch. And then went to this place Saturday night called Byblos, which is like a Greek, Mediterranean. They've got a lot going on, but had this bronzino dish, which was unbelievable. And just they do things right. So the scallop dish was amazing. Their shawarma is just out of this world. And then Oxford Exchange this morning, just the way I would describe it is just kind of like order anything you want, but it's just damn good, you know? So really great weekend for eating. Reading, I'm still on my three, including the first 90 days in Troublemakers, but I failed to mention this last week. I'm reading Letters to a Future Champion to get ready for Dottie Pepper, which will be posted Friday, March 25th. So very excited about that. And then going along with that, we're going to tie that into thinking.
Fucking hell, I guess we're done with the anonymity here.
Yeah, I know. I decided to delay it a week. We're in March, so really spending some time in her shoes this week, listening to all the interviews that she's done and her book. And one of the things that I picked up early on was a bit of advice that she got, which was basically just keep at it, but proceed slowly. And I really, that for some reason just really stuck with me this week. And it makes a lot of sense for where the place that I'm in right now. And also, I'm going to drop another one here, so bear with me. Had a really, really amazing conversation with Alex Ward, the lead consultant architect for the clubhouse at the Tree Farm. And I was just the Tree Farm. I was so impressed by him. I mean, it was, we had a couple hour phone call. His philosophy on really house theory, just far more complex. It was really impressive. So he has me reading a couple books as well with some architects that inspire him. And that'll be coming in late April, but man, I'm just really excited for that one. So that's my dirt. Hit me with yours.
Dirt. Nothing too exciting this week. Well, I mean, it's extremely exciting for me, but nothing too exciting on the drinking front. You know, we were talking Topo last time, and you know, it's not a heat check in the sense of like, I don't crave Topo right now. Like I want Topo, but sometimes you do have to put things on overplay watch. And so Topo's on just a slight overplay watch. So it's just been water, focused on the electrolytes this week, which I usually do a pretty good job of, but just kind of making sure that I'm keeping that dialed in, coffee dialed as per usual. And, yeah, that's about it. So drinking is standard procedure. Eating, it's been a good eating week. You know, I did kind of a little mental check-in actually right before this pod on, as we spoke, for the 2022 preview pod, we talked about kind of what some of the intentions were for the year in the eating category. And one of the things that I said was I wanted to try to be really consistent with breakfast and lunch, and then with dinner, you know, do a good job there as well. But you know, you're going to get a little bit more outside the lines, and I can say I've done a really good job with that. Good, bad, or otherwise, I feel like about every week I eat the exact same breakfast and lunch, like every single day. You know, it might change week over week. Like I'm not going to go 12 straight days eating the same lunch. Now my breakfast almost never changes. But lunch, we kind of switch out week to week. But you know, I've been staying consistent with that, finding things that make me feel good and get me enough. And so, been doing a good job there. So small little pat on the back for myself. I will give a quick shout out to Friday night. Had my first ever Georgian food experience, a place in Palo Alto called Bevery. Just good. I mean, not crazy complex stuff, I wouldn't say, like very approachable, which is something I love about it. I mean, I'll go eat anything, but I always appreciate a place that's like really good and new, but you would say to yourself, you leave saying to yourself, like, I could take someone here who's not super adventurous and they'd still enjoy it. You know, like they might not know the names of the dishes and things, but you throw out a flat iron chicken in front of someone. And although it's spiced a little bit differently and has some really intricate stuff to it, flat iron chicken. So, awesome. Just freaking awesome. Reading onto a new one. The Third Pole by Mark Sinnott. I have a bit of an obsession with Mount Everest and another book about Mount Everest. So Sinnott's a really good writer. I've read a few of his things. did a great book profiling. It's basically the print version of Free Solo, the movie on Alex Honnold. So that was a really good piece that he did. And then Third Pole, really interesting story about kind of the one of the first expeditions of Mount Everest and just kind of how the allure of the mountain is built over time. So really good one. Enjoying that quite a lot. Thinking, this is a little uncommon for the Thai, but I feel it needs to be said. I know a lot of people have probably tracked a tragedy that's happened within the Stanford athletic community this week. And I'm not going to go into detail there. People can certainly find that on the Google. But I have been very happy to have seen a lot of friends reach out to me this week just to check in, nothing more than check in. And that's kind of my thinking. Just check in with people, make sure they're doing okay. Don't forget to do it. And, you know, whether it's a good time or a bad time, you know, just don't forget to check in with your friends. Once again, I'm feeling really grateful that I've had so many people check in with me. I'm doing great. But I just think that that's something really important. And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot this week. So with that, let's go straight into Mudball Monday. And as we talk about going into things, I feel like we are in the PGA Tour season now. You know, nothing against Torrey Pines. Well, slight things against Torrey Pines. It's a great tournament, though. Nothing against Riviera. Great no. golf course, great tournament. But I feel like we're on the back end of the silly season with those events. You know, like we're just too far from the narrative. But once we get to Florida, once the boys touch down at Arnie's place, which has just been a freaking bloodbath the last few years, and I'm loving it. It feels like the season has arrived. We're 1 month from the Masters. And I mean, it's time to straddle up. It is time to play some real golf and get this narrative rolling of the season, figure out who we're really tracking, you know, going into the Masters, who's playing really good golf right now. Because once again, like 6-8 weeks removed, California conditions, like it's just not that analogous to what we might see 2 months down the line at Augusta. But all of a sudden, here we are. It's time to go. First question of the day. Who do you have your eyes on going into Augusta?
For the Masters particularly, or just who do I have my eyes on the tournaments before that?
You know, who do you think is looking good right now that you could say pretty confidently, like, this is a guy that I am officially monitoring the situation as we move towards the first major of the year?
Well, I really, you know... We'll start here with the fifth major. Feel free to push back on me there. But I really like Abe for TPC Sawgrass, Abe Anser. I really like the way he's been playing this year. And I just think the short game's so important out there. So I like Abe. You know, in Austin, I just want to see some good golf. I love that golf course. I think we're going to see some really good stuff out of Sam Burns. So eyes on Sam Burns. And then for the Masters in particular, I got three people who I got my eyes on, and that is Colin, Senior Jordan Spieth, and then Xander Schauffele. So those are kind of the people that I'm looking at right now.
Flaming hot takes for Augusta.
Yeah, for real. So no hot takes there, but I'm excited for the golf coming up. It's a really good mix of courses. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Innisbrook, but I think it does bring out some interesting contestants. And I actually quite like watching the tournament, you know, more so than I like playing the golf course. But I'm such a big fan of Austin Golf Club. Not quite as big of a fan of TPC San Antonio, but you're right, man. I mean, this the four or five tournaments leading up to the Masters is it's when shit gets real. What about you? Who are you looking at?
I mean, look, this is as cold of a take as you can have right now, but I feel like I have a right to say it. I know everyone listened to the preview pod. I know everybody did. No one's missed an episode of the Tie in years. So since we haven't even been doing this for years, but yeah, I did roll with Mr. Scotty Scheffler as my horse for this year. And God damn it, if he hasn't won two of the last three, he just won this afternoon. You got to think he's going to play well at Augusta. He's got a really good game for it. I love the ball flight. I love his putting. He's got plenty of length off the tee. It was from the preview pod. People should just go back and listen to it. I'm not calling a win. I'm calling contention without a doubt. Final few groups, I think he's going to be right there. I think it is going to be just an absolute gun show. And this is like another shitty take, but not that bad. I think it's a top 10 player in the world that wins. I don't see someone, you know, obviously it's going to be someone who's in like the top 25, top 50. But I'm not seeing the Danny Willett, and that's nothing against a Danny Willett or Charles Schwartzel or Trevor Immelman. You know, some of the guys who are great players, but have kind of come somewhat out of nowhere to win the Masters in the past. It's to me this year, it's going to be Rahm, DJ, Morikawa,
Rory.
Shoffley's a strong pick. Rory's sitting at fifth right now in the world. Big Dick Vic. You never know.
Guy's killing it, man.
He's so good. He's so good.
He really is.
Yeah. I mean, just so much to be excited for about the Masters, as there is every year, but it just gets better and better. I mean, it gets better and better. And so I'm really, really looking forward to it. And so as we talk about that, we always kind of have one question of the day. Just what do you think of when you hear the question? And that question from me to you today is, what does 1 month to the Masters mean to you?
You know, it usually means something different when I'm in a cooler climate, but shit, it's already 95 degrees over here. But to me, it just means the year is getting started. My birthday is normally around March, it always is in March. But I just, this time of year is when it all gets going. You know, I feel like the summertime is when clearly we just see the best golf. You know, I love major season, and with Augusta being the first, it just feels like players are knocking that rust off. And there's just more stuff happening in our lives in general. And oddly enough, the Masters, just being the American tradition that it is, it feels like it gets that going. So, I haven't been to the Masters in quite a long time. I've only been once. The first time I went, I was like 12 or 13, but I tell you what, the next few years, I would really like to go back and experience that again, probably through a much different lens. When's the last time that you went? Three, four years ago?
Been a while. Yeah. I mean, I've been a lot, but it's been a while since I've been, probably more than 3 or 4 years, but fewer than like 8. So I don't know exactly when the last one would have been. You know, unfortunately, not unfortunately, I don't know, but we play a tournament that week. Well, the week after, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after at Pastiempo, which is, it's like my favorite tournament of the year. So I'm not complaining. But what I am, I'll go ahead and throw a complaint about, is the fact that the practice round, I mean, we're talking about practice, is during Sunday at the Masters. And it's brutal. It's fucking brutal. There's no other way to put it. Like, I don't know how else you want me to chalk that up. It was a really cool experience, I must say. When Tiger won in 19, every team on the golf course, you know, the coaches meeting, I'll throw this out there. Coaches meetings are usually what, like 30 minutes, something like that. Maybe like 40 minutes if there are a couple extra rules for the week. Yeah. That 2019 Pastiempo coaches meeting, it was like 3 hours long. I don't know what happened. Like, there wasn't a TV in there or anything. Surely they must have just a lot of rules to go through. But anyway, so the coaches were gone for like the entire back nine. Again, just beyond me. But all the teams out there had their phones going. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could hear roars from one hole to the next, you know, across the country on another Alistair McKenzie course as Tiger was just carving it up. It was a cool experience. Like, would I have loved to not be watching that from my cell phone? Sure. But it was neat and novel, if nothing else. So yeah, that was a cool little memory.
You had that California weather. That year I was in Athens, which is not too far, and it was pouring down rain. And similar, they didn't have a coaches meeting, but basically it was like, by the grace of God, it just, the storm rolled in. It was pouring. Everybody went into the clubhouse, and we got in to the men's locker room right as Tiger was coming up 18. And when Tiger won the tournament, you know, hugged his son, Charlie, coming off the 18th green, there were like 80 soaking wet men in that locker room, just bawling their eyes out. It was an unbelievable scene. Honestly, one of my favorite Masters memories right there. Pretty awesome. Speaking of Masters memories, you know, I think we've missed a lot of great years and a lot of great Masters moments being as young as we are, but whether it was you having experience watching it on the television, maybe it was one of the years that you were present yourself, or just, you know, one of those memories like you had the year Tiger won, what reminds you of the Masters? What are some of your favorite moments?
Well, when you say reminds me, like, just, I would say the general importance of it, you know, for golfers, yeah, at least. So many years of, like, my granddad would come up and watch with us. Things happen around the Masters. People do things that they don't do for much of anything else. You know, like, you might try to knock off an egg salad sandwich at home, little things like that, you know. Even in college, like, class, a Thursday class on the morning of the Masters starting, like, are you kidding me? You think I'm showing up for that?
Screens.
Like, yeah, it's just not happening. So just like the general importance of it. But like, one specific memory that I have actually is from the first time I attended the Masters. 2009, I remember, because I have a hat from it. I guess that was what, Immelman that won that year? Zach Johnson? No. Immelman won in 08. Mickelson? No, fucking hell. Cabrera, surely.
In 13?
No. 09.
Okay.
ZJ won 2000.
I'm not going to be your history.
Immelman 8, Cabrera 9. I'm rolling with that.
RIP on hell.
We'll figure this out. Anyway, 2009, went with my dad. Great experience. Remember sitting behind the green. Oh, this was a Saturday. Sat behind the green on 16 for quite a while. I mean, we walked most of the golf course, but I remember seeing a cold shank from Paul Casey, and sick, also a hole in one. I think it was Marco Mira that made the hole in one, but I'm not completely sure. Okay. But yeah, kind of like a hit for the cycle sort of vibe. So that was peculiar. But one thing I'll never forget, I was, what, 11 years old or something like that. I guess they stopped selling beer at like 4, maybe 5, something like that. And I'm like walking past a concession stand again. I'm like 11 years old. And it's like, let's say it's 4. It's like 3:59. And I see some guy like hunched over, like running from the concession stand. He must have had 15 beers in his hand. I mean, shout out Wright, talking about you got to drink 15 beers. It was the technique was aspirational. I mean, he took all of his fingers and was like sticking them into the different cups and just kind of like pressing them all together. And the number of beers this guy was able to hold doing so was just truly remarkable. And so that's something that I'll never forget. You know, one other thing before I toss it to you that I'll throw out is just, if I smell cigar smoke, immediately my mind goes to Augusta. Huh. Anytime someone's smoking a cigar, that's the first place that my mind goes. And I think that's kind of neat.
That is neat.
What about you? Got? Memories. Give me a specific memory. I'm going to figure out who won the 09 Masters. I think
it's right on. Yeah, I just remember when I was 12, everyone Cabrera. Says this. Okay, right on. Everybody says this, but the undulation truly does hit you when you go there for the first time. And I think secondly, I was just amazed by how immaculate that place is. It might be the most manufactured and well-maintained piece of property on planet Earth amongst all the gardens in Europe and whatever else. I mean, it's truly amazing when you go there. It was, I remember it being hard to believe. And I remember walking down the right side of 11 and just sitting there. I can't remember who was hitting in the fairway, but we were maybe 30 yards ahead of whoever was hitting. And I just had this giant divot fly basically right onto me. And I saved some grass thinking that somehow I could keep it alive, and certainly couldn't. But just walking through Amen Corner, and we definitely went against Wright's advice and walked out all over the place. I'd like to park myself somewhere next time I go and just really experience one spot. But I don't think we were wrong for trying to experience the whole golf course. And so, yeah, the whole day was just fantastic. I mean, it's just something that you just can't replicate anywhere else. Again, another thing about the Masters is I think some people hate this. I love watching my friends who don't follow golf, you know, the other 51 weeks of the year, get into it. And even the 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the Masters, like, I'm all for that. I love hearing people get into it and try to make some picks and just get interested. I just think it's fantastic. Do you do any sort of betting stuff for the Masters? Are you going to put any money on someone this year?
Well, you know, as far as the old NCAA is concerned, we're betting soda pops. But yes, I do bet some soda pops here and there. I like Dr. Peppers mostly. And yeah, I mean, I've got some thoughts on how to go about it, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's more the avenue I was looking for. Kind of wanted to pinch you there, so it was good.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that one of the things I've found through the years, I'll preface this with saying we've done a lot of thinking on how to win those Dr. Peppers when it comes to the Masters. And I've noticed a few things in particular. One, there's certain guys that just have good rounds in them at the Masters. And of course, a lot of this, I'll say that, you know, it depends on what sort of pool you're in, but oftentimes the sorts of pools that I have done are ones where you assign a point value to players. So let's say that you have 20 points to a lot and 5 point players are like the top 5 players in the world, you know, next 10 players are 4 point players, all the way down to where the bottom 50 guys in the field are only 1 point. So you could choose 20 of them, or you could choose 4 or 5 point players or any combination of that. What I've found is that you really want to focus in on guys that have decent track records at Augusta, who have been there a decent number of times and are of low point value. So don't spend all your nuggies on Rory McIlroy, even though he will just shoot 75, 66, 66, 66. You know, figure out the guys that are going to be able to go 73, 70, make the cut, 67 on Saturday, you know, put some good rounds together for you if it's a round by round sort of thing. Again, this advice is a little bit hard because it depends on like what exactly the pool setup is. But I do think that, you know, guys that have been there a lot, guys that putt the ball well, if you really want to dive into it, find the cross section of those two guys that have been there and guys that seem to putt the greens well. Those are the ones who really put together some good rounds for you. So those would be my two biggest pieces of advice: experience and putting, and don't go too deep on the better players. Those are my thoughts. Something that you were talking about, as we pivot away from the betting there, you know, you talked about going back to the Masters, and yeah, we talked to Wright on the pod. Awesome pod. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. Wright Thompson. And he said, you know, park yourself somewhere. Don't spend the whole day walking the golf course. I do agree with that. However, that's an affordance of having been before. Like if you haven't been, if it's your first time, see the whole damn thing without a doubt. Like see right. Every single hole, take 50,000 steps or whatever. But if you're going back, park yourself, find a spot, just see a bunch of golfers come through. But let's set that aside. What I want to ask you is from a culinary standpoint, let's say you back yourself into some tickets for a month from now. You're going on Friday, you know, it doesn't really matter what day it is, but let's say Friday, what's it going to look like? Sun up to sundown.
You know, this is an interesting question. I've never really thought too deeply about this. I feel like, and Wright didn't give any love to the barbecue sandwich, which I found pretty interesting, honestly. I love barbecue and I'm a lover of, a very average like gas station barbecue sandwich as much as the next guy. Like I'm there for that. And interestingly enough, I'm not a big egg salad guy. And I'm very picky with pimento cheese just because I was raised under some really good pimento cheese action and with not a lot of mayo. So I'm going full throttle on the barbecue sandwiches, but I do believe in trying everything. So I'm going to get one of everything. Going to have some cold beers. I'm going to have some chips. And we're going to do some combos. Speaking into the right sandwich, the combo of the century, perhaps. Do you mind running through that one more time?
Yeah, I mean, you got to do it. I think we're talking, you get a pimento cheese and you get a chicken sandwich. That was the one that Wright was all over. And what you do is you take the bread off of the chicken sandwich, you open up the pimento cheese, you put the chicken inside the pimento cheese, and then to go one layer deeper, you take the barbecue chips and put that on either side of the chicken. So you're working with bread, pimento cheese, barbecue chips, chicken. It's the right sandwich, and it's got to be done. I haven't had one, but I look forward to the day that I do.
I feel like you cannot not take that guy's advice. So next time I go, it will be done. I might just have to add some barbecue onto that and just see if go absolute silliness. Phew. Favorite hole at Augusta?
God, not that's 13. A bad question. No. That question.
Not 13. I've already asked it, so you got to answer it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The answer is 15. I love the 15th hole at Augusta.
How would you change the 15th?
How would I change the 15th? I don't love the bunker on the right by any means. Okay. I think that that's a bit of a bailout, or it is a bailout. I mean, if you miss that green, that's exactly where you want to miss. I haven't thought at length at any point about how I would change the 15th hole, because I'll ask you the same question in a moment, how you would change it. But I'm just a sucker for risk reward par fives where you hit a good tee ball and you're then faced with a decision. Maybe if you hit a great tee ball, there's probably not a decision. Like if you get it down there to 210, you're just not going to lay up. But you know, you're rewarded by hitting a good tee ball. And then from there, like you can make three and you can make, shout out Sergio, 13 or something like that.
I think it actually was 13, which is so funny that we're laughing, because like it's well within reach with a couple bad wedges and
yeah, I mean that thing,
tight turf,
you get that green crispy and you know, obviously you can't miss short. I mean, God bless America, if you put me behind that green
bad
Sunday, bad. Like we are putting it sideways. We're going to the bunker near the bunker, then just kind of like edging it onto the green and then taking my four wiggle and getting out of there with an eight and we're fine. But the lob wedge, I will throw the lob wedge in the lake before I'll allow the ball to blade the ball into the lake. I mean, no chance.
Yeah.
Truly, if I miss that green long, I'm walking up to the green with lob wedge in hand, and I'm just going to lightly deposit it into the lake before I even 16. Think about pull on 16, before even thinking about pulling that thing on the 15th to hit that pitch shot.
Yeah. Hope you don't need it in the last couple. That's fantastic. That's good work there.
15th. What would you change about it? Because that felt like a question that didn't just come out of nowhere.
No, it really didn't. I mean, you answered 15. I think 15 is a great hole. I asked that question without thinking what my favorite would be. But 15 has evolved tremendously over the last, 40 years. I mean, it really, I forget the name of the guy who does all these renderings on Twitter. But the video edit that he did of how that hole has evolved over the last, it's probably more than 40 years is insane. I'd like to see a little bit more width, and I'd like to see the green receive the risk reward a little bit better for that width. I like how narrow it is, just given what has happened with the driver and the golf ball. But God, it's a fantastic golf hole. I mean, it really is. It's provided some of the best moments coming down the stretch, and you gotta sack up if you wanna land one soft enough on that number to keep it on, you know. And that I find it so amazing that so many folks get it near that left-hand pin position every year. I say so many, but even one or two is just ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about landing it on the hood of a car softly from 220 yards where short is dead and long is dead. I mean, it baffles me. Perhaps
great
those are
combination
poles.
Of words there. Short is dead and long is dead. I love that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, Augusta National, it's a relic. I mean, it's insane. 16 bothers me a little bit some years, never Sunday. But that back right pin position is kind of weird. I don't know how I feel about that. And then 18, you know, what an unbelievable test of a golf hole. I mean, that shoot it has lasted the test of time. Unbelievable hole, the 18th. So what else you want to chat about?
You know, I've had enough of golf today, but I do have something that you're going to have no idea what's coming here as we close out.
I love that.
I've got a new vertical that we're going to move into. Not yet, but it will come, and I'm going to tease it here, and I'm going to ask you, A, what you think about it, and B, what you know about it.
Okay.
As of now, tell me what our three pillars are at the tie.
Golf, in no particular order, I might add. And I'll add a fourth. Golf course architecture, competition, and culture of the game, and food.
And food, of course. The fifth, fourth and a half, third and a half, whatever pillar of the tie is going to be pickleball, baby.
Get out of here.
We're going to be a pickle pod. I'm telling you. Get out of here. We're going to be a pickle pod. What do you know about pickleball?
Not a damn thing. I mean, I've played. Five or six times, not within the last 3 years. I love table tennis, and I love tennis. I wish I was better at tennis. But I love the idea of combining the two. I think it's awesome. And the guy that I lived with when I was in Greenville, treating a lot of pickleball related injuries. It's the fastest growing sport in America right now. That's all I know. So hit me. What's the deal?
I mean, I don't have much to say, honestly. Everyone loves it. I've played very few times. I'm ready to make my entrance. And I think as soon as I do, I'm going to be deep in the game. Yeah, as you said, fastest growing sport in America. I don't think this is something that many people are covering yet in the podcasting world. Pickle pod, it's coming. We're going to be doing it.
Do you have any guests in mind? You need to do a pickle pod?
Not a damn one. Not a damn one.
All right. If anyone knows more than both of us combined times two about pickleball,
which is saying nothing. So if you know anything about pickleball, reach out.
Mudball Monday.
Pickle pod. Masters pod.
We out.